Chapter 3, Body Double.
I liked the Guy Ritchie, Arthur Knight, whatever, the King Arthur thing. Everyone hated it.
Oh, you saw it. That makes you an idiot. Let's not the show.
Yeah. Oh, can we just talk about that instead? No, let's talk about this. Okay, I'll start us off. Hello, welcome to Chapter 3 of Cry Me a Riverdale. I'm one of the people who will be talking, John Reisinger.
And I'm the other person who will be talking, Mikey Newman.
What if right there a third person chimed in that we didn't
know
was here?
That would be amazing. I wonder if that'll happen in the season finale, he says, foreshadowing.
You should be a writer. You're really good at this.
I believe I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
Because I noticed some inconsistencies in this episode. It had really high highs and then like some baffling moments.
Yeah.
Generally from Archie, which I don't think is new to us specifically.
He's kind of like, he's not the worst. He's just not good.
He is second worst because Grundy in this episode, God help her. She is always going for the bottom of the barrel. And she achieves it with such aplomb.
Is that the nickname for Archie's junk? Bottom of the barrel?
Ew, gross.
okay.
I think making nicknames for Archie's junk was Grundy's problem.
I can make nicknames for Archie's junk whole episode if we want to do that. I could just throw away these four pages of notes.
Let's save them for the locker room scene.
Okay.
So,
all right. So let's start this thing off.
We open on Cheryl Blossom getting arrested.
Actually, I have a really cool thing that I came up with. We open with Jug talking. Mm-hmm. I've called this the Jug Dub.
The Jug Dub?
The Jug Dub.
Is so good.
Yes.
That is so good.
Okay, so we open with the Jug Dub.
Got the Jug Dub.
Yeah, Cheryl's getting
hurt. Because we open and close with the Jug Dub.
Gotta have the Jug Dub.
All right. So Cheryl immediately, because the last episode we cliffhangered with Cheryl holding out her hands to the police and saying, I'm guilty. And then immediately she's like, but not of the murder.
Yeah.
And the cops are like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, like you.
Maybe that's
you,
not what you start off with. Maybe
yeah,
that's
you,
not what you,
you
say.
You knew why we were there. Like, you can't. So, Sheriff Old Chris Pine or Sheriff
yes.
OCP.
You can't not see it. You can't not see it.
I looked it up after the last episode and I was just like stunned. I think that might be Chris Pine's dad, long lost.
That'd be so cool.
So Cheryl finally comes clean about one key aspect of this that has been pretty obvious the whole time. It's that she was faking Jason's death for whatever outlandish reason. And then all the footage, because she's doing a voiceover and they keep cutting to all this footage. And her last moment with Jason is very much a Lannister moment because they are like real close. real close. Like... I love talking to my sister. I love her to death, but I don't generally talk with my mouth like 2 inches from hers. Cause that's not a real good like bro sis move.
Yeah. Well, there's also something they crossed over and said they're on the Greendale side of the river. Is Greendale like the neighboring city, Mr. Like I've done a million things of research?
I did very little on this one, actually. Sorry.
I'm curious. That struck me for some reasons, like Greendale, because everything is called Dale.
I imagine that scenario, and please tell us in the comments if you know anything more concrete or if we're totally wrong. But this feels like a you know that city next to Springfield on The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Oh, what is that called? I don't even remember what it's called. I feel extra dumb now.
Not Springfield.
Yeah, not Springfield is the name of that city, and just like Bart. And I think it's just that sort of thing where they have the rivalry, and everybody in the city hates the other city, and... Because like everyone in the show feels an irrational need to hate things that are different. to staggering degree.
Yeah. And so Cheryl, yes, she's called out for like singing and dancing at the pep rally, as she should have been called out, because that's just crazy.
Sheriff OCP supplies a bit of pressure here on her, which is nice, because finally someone is like, let's try to solve this crime.
Yeah. And then Daddy Bad Hair and Crazy Mommy show up, and they told Cheryl she should have got a lawyer or something.
Yeah. Wait.
Her parents show up and they get all pissed off because they were questioning their baby without them.
There is is sort of a blanket statement. There is a weird irrational need on behalf of the police to question minors without informing their guardians.
That's how you get the good stuff. That's how you get it.
Like, at the end of this, I think the cops are going to go to jail, Buddy's mom's going to go to jail. Like, everyone but the suspects are going to go to jail because everyone breaks the law as a LARF, it seems.
Then we cut to the next scene.
Oh, yeah. We cut directly onto Archie's black eye because I have update. Archie's black eye still looks pristine.
It's so good.
It is
so
the hottest bruising.
It's a Sistine Chapel of bruising.
It is. that is totally fair.
Like if on the Sistine Chapel, Adam was bruised like this, it would still be a work of art.
That's what it would look like.
Be like, oh, Michelangelo, he was just so intentional. So Archie's because he was going to confess. Yeah. So he was going to confess.
Yeah. But we don't get much out of that because we cut pretty quickly. And we learn that not only does Betty's mom own a newspaper, she uses it and owns it to be vindictive of people she doesn't really have information or proof about.
Yeah. She also uses the newspaper to write headlines that are going to be tattoos I'm eventually going to get on my body. This one was guilty as sin.
I made one quick note where, because she said, and I quote, to Betty, you reap what you sow.
Yeah.
And I wrote, says the person who has never reaped what she sowed in her entire life.
I wonder if that's going to come back and bite her later on in the season.
I did make a note that her BM count is still -1. She has yet to make it through a scene being an actual human. I'm holding out hope. This is God. This is not the episode for that. Because Betty's whole like entourage goes off in this episode. Because Betty gets her moments too.
Yeah, there was a very odd Lois Lane reference in that scene as well, which for some reason was jarring to me for them to make a reference to another comic book. It was just kind of weird to me. I don't know.
I sort of took it as how likely and obvious that the person who uses the paper for vindictive personal reasons would use it for nepotistic reasons as well.
Yeah.
Because she's just like, do you want a job, daughter of mine? Also, you're Lois Lane, because I don't know.
Then we go to Grundy, who is practicing her cello, because that's what she does.
But Archie's spying on her through the doorway, and he's into creeping. It. She's like pulling a yo-yo ma. She's just feeling every note. And I did make a quick note, like look, I don't want to choose sides. I don't want to point out who's right or wrong. But I'm not even sure Grundy is a teacher, because we haven't actually seen her do it yet. She's just, they pay her to sit in a room and play cello.
Is she a squatter?
I don't know. She doesn't do her job very well. Well, clearly she doesn't, but for any number of reasons.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to ever actually have class. He always just, whenever Archie walks up, because Archie doesn't have class as well, she's just always playing the cello.
So he goes in there and he confesses to the police that he heard the gunshot.
and vindicating Cheryl, because Cheryl had brought up the gunshot, and they were like, yeah.
No corroboration.
Yeah, and then immediately someone walks in, and they put a pretty good pressure on him about who he was with.
Said he was working on music, and then he goes, I don't know why he did this. He goes, I was not alone. And everyone's like, everyone watching the show holds their breath, and then he goes, I was with my dog.
Yeah, okay, and it's like,
why? Why'd you do that?
There is a number of things, because you have lied to the police about two things in this scene. And Archie is now in actual trouble. He went from in no trouble whatsoever to some very serious trouble, because you have now lied to the police in a murder investigation, which I hear is not a good move. I've heard
it's not ideal. It's not ideal.
Yeah, on the list of ideal things to do in a murder investigation, it is not on the page.
Yeah, you have other options. And then we go to the...
We cut to Kevin making jokes about watching Making a Murderer and binging it with his friends. To Betty, who I will remind you, her sister was the one dating the guy that is dead.
Yeah.
This is an open murder investigation, and you're just like, let's go watch Netflix. Oh, lol. Kevin continues to be the absolute worst.
He kind of is.
It is endearing, and I love it, but it's just like, Kev, dude.
Turn it down a notch, bro.
Yeah.
Ronnie. Oh, yeah. So they're all talking about they're all suspects, and then Veronica's like, she's not, and then she talks about a date she showed up after,
so she's actually the only one that isn't under suspect. But she has a date with Chuck.
Chuck Clayton.
Who apparently is like a Kennedy. Which, having seen how he acts through the rest of the episode, I don't know if that's more true or less true. Like, I find it really easy to believe that Kennedy's acted like this. Because he is a real poop swabber. He is not a great guy.
Poop swabber. I've not heard that one before.
That's a good one.
Okay, next scene.
Is Betty and Jughead.
Wants to revive the blue and gold.
Jughead is apparently writing a book, and he talks about his craft like he's the most famous author in the world.
As you do in high school.
Yeah, you're in high school. You don't get to call the shots on everything, dog. Like, they ain't going to work out for you so great. So Jughead also kind of pinging my, like, really? Meter a little bit in this episode.
His hipster levels were at an all-time high.
They were real high.
And I live in Austin, and I can vouch for that. we grow hipsters in our gardens.
Jughead does seem like a guy who would live in Austin.
Yeah.
So Betty is trying to manipulate Jughead into joining the blue and gold.
Yeah.
The school paper.
She gets him to join by sweet talking him.
But it's important to explain why. Because apparently this school newspaper investigates murders. Like, no.
This was very much giving me flashbacks to Smallville, Wall of Weird.
Doesn't Betty have a teacher who's like, please don't do that.
Like, we've only seen one teacher actually teach in this school, so I don't know how many teachers.
But she gives Jughead
have.
Pretty wide autonomy, which she cannot do, which was a little strange, but. They're kind of the B plot of this whole thing anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, she gives the first assignment, which is to go question Dilton Doily.
Which leads to some information.
Yeah.
But we move to father-son time.
Where Archie's lying again.
And his dad knows it. His dad knows a lot more than he's letting on, as we learn later, but they're fighting.
Yeah, because Archie confessed to being there 4th of July, but he had told his dad that he was out with Jughead, so then now that the police know this, his dad knows it, his dad's upset, and he grounds him.
Well, yeah, so his dad grounds Archie for talking to the police about an open murder investigation without his parents,
Well, I mean, sort of, kind of.
That's like ruin your life territory. So his dad is not exactly like out of bounds for being maybe a little angry about that.
Yeah, and he's also just like grounding him because of the constant lying, because he won't tell him the truth about anything. And then Archie gets all...
Archie keeps trying the aw shucks thing, and it's just dude.
I loved when Archie tried to say, like, Dad, you can't do this. His dad used the greatest dad line, which is, you want to go for three? Because he says he's grounded for 2 weeks. I felt good. Luke Perry did good.
Perry continues to be perfect in every scene.
He done did good.
We move on to the Ronnie Chuck date.
Yeah, which is very confusing.
Why is that confusing?
It's very confusing because the way that they act on the date is never repeated ever again throughout the episode, which is namely Chuck acts normal and nice. And
Chuck acts like a normal human being and they end up working out.
They both confess about having a hard time being the new kid. They connect. He even says a very boyfriend line, which is, I'm going to have my hands full with you, huh? It's like a great little they might be boyfriend and girlfriend, and they make out.
Yeah, and it all feels real. There is definitely a wolf in sheep's clothing aspect to Chuck. Mm-hmm. But he does seem to be like honestly bearing his soul a little bit to her, which makes him makes her fall for him a bit. And
I guess
he takes the most abrupt 180, because here's the thing. If Chuck was capable of that, which is being a normal human being that certainly cares about someone else, and that's the impression he gives her, I think Archie would have had some information for Veronica if he had done that before.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be more known. Chuck feels like, we just remembered this character. Let's go nuts.
Yeah. And then we go to just a brief scene with...
Grundy and Archie, yeah.
Grundy goes into like full preservation mode again and is pissed off because Archie confessed. And Archie's I'll protect you.
I made a quick note that Grundy's jail time is now for real. Because she is now actively fighting a murder investigation.
Yeah, she's telling Archie to lie for her.
Yeah, so she's in real trouble. Like, she is the one that I don't think is getting out of this at all.
I'm very curious.
And she suspends their music lessons.
Yeah, she punishes him.
Which, real quick note, we as the audience, I don't think care as much about Archie's music lessons as maybe the writers want us to. And to me, that's a question of scale. This episode features a moving murder investigation, a misbehaving football team that does unspeakable things to girls.
Yeah.
And then Archie really wants to be a famous musician. And I'm like, you're putting this up against things, including his story with Grundy, but like Archie's music career, I don't give the flimsiest shit about, right?
Yeah. They probably could have done a better job of balancing that, but it stays a pretty consistent theme in this episode. We got to keep moving though. Veronica. We cut to the school, and she says she had a boring night, that he wasn't very good talk to. So even Veronica's like bad talking when I think she had a good night with the guy. So even Veronica was acting weird. That's why I said like the date was weird, because later on they both like 180'd on how the date went.
Yeah, there's a bit of character assassination of everyone but Betty in this episode.
Yeah,
and I think maybe they're sort of rebalancing the scales a little bit and showing us their flaws so that Betty can kind of move. Because Betty was really kind of lagging in the rear for the last episodes, and she comes into her own big time in this
one. Oh yeah, forcefully. Then we get introduced to a sticky maple and find out what that is.
Which I guess is, first of all, that's no awful waffle. All right, so
yeah,
we got.
Wait, that's no what?
So on Salute Your Shorts, a Nickelodeon show.
Oh, good. You're making a very timely reference. Yeah,
there is the awful waffle where you pull up a camper shirt and squirt maple syrup all over their stomach, and then you hit them with a tennis racket.
Jesus.
Hence an awful waffle.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's so much better than the sticky maple, which isn't a thing. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, it's because Riverdale is a big old maple place, and so everything has to do with syrup.
I guess. They do. don't tend to eat syrup. They just put it on the others' heads, I guess.
They do later on because it's like the Blossom's entire fortune. Yeah, so Sticky Maple is a slut-shaming thing, and we totally get told that this is going to be a slut-shaming episode. And Veronica's all pissed off and is ready to go, full Zero Dark 30 on this dude.
Yeah.
And
I'm in. I'm like, oh, yeah, yes, everyone yes, watching queen.
Yes. She has a great – you can't say yes, queen. You're not allowed to do that anymore. I call a veto on that. That's not okay.
I call a Sony Vita on that.
Yeah.
Right
and
now.
And then she uses a great line, which I really want to use someday, which is she says, I will cut the brakes on his souped up phallic symbol.
Yeah.
That's just good. I love it when anybody can just pull things like that out of their brain.
When Ronnie goes into dark mode,
yeah,
which is what she calls it, she says full dark mode.
Full dark, no stars.
Yeah. It's surprising how good Betty is at this as well.
Yeah.
But Veronica knows the moderation of it a bit. Betty has a little trouble stopping, as we find out.
We go to the locker room, and we see Archie's abs again.
Where they run into, nude Archie for some reason.
Well, this is chapter three, and chapter one and two at Archie's abs showing up. We got to have him show up in chapter three. Okay, it's very important.
So the thing is, Archie is in the scene, but he's not really in the scene, because Ronnie is just like... Bye, boy. She moves him out of the way and goes straight to Chuck.
It was his inclusion was still very important.
And if I didn't hate Chuck with every fiber of my being already, he actually refers to other men as betas. And then when I collected all my computer parts from the ground as I had flipped the table they were upon, like what? Because just like you hang with them betas, and I was
yeah, he kind of turns the perv levels up to 11, and he they argue, and basically he's like he refuses to take down a sticky maple.
Yeah,
he's like,
and he sets up our conflict. And can we just talk about the fact, because the sticky maple specifically is a picture on Instagram.
I think it looked like Facebook.
What? I don't care. It was on some social media kingdom. That is not the point. She is clearly posing for a selfie with him, just like a normal, we're smiling selfie. And the worst Photoshop of syrup ever.
Yeah.
Is posted on top of it. And then everyone's like, snicker, snicker, we got him. She's such a horrible person. And it's just like, that is the most obvious.
Yeah.
Most obvious.
Well, it's funny because it looks like, boy milk.
But it doesn't. It looks like a bunch of high school kids think that looks like.
Yeah.
Know why anyone is reacting at school other than your Photoshop sucks, dude.
That's what you would argue about in school.
That actually is why I got beat up a lot. I would make fun of other people's Photoshop.
So then the scene basically ends with them arguing and him saying he's not going to take it down. And he says, please fight back. And so he basically goads Veronica and Betty to
which is a real dumb move on his part.
Well, he learns that later. And then we go to the Moonrise Kingdom intermission with
the Boy Scouts,
Dilton Doily, and he's having his little Wes Anderson moment. Jughead shows up.
Take a moment for the fact that Jughead is investigating a gunshot from an open murder investigation for the school paper.
He's got to get the scoop.
He's
got to get that scoop.
And every time they talk about this, they talk with that authority. And I'm like, that's the school paper.
Well, that kind of resolves this scene because in the end, Doily gives him nothing. And we move on.
No, he gives him one bit, which is that he saw Cheryl at the lake, which is a bit of a red herring.
Yeah, but that was already part of this. That was already known knowledge at the beginning of this season. That's who found Cheryl was.
Oh, Dylan yeah, that's and true. His never scout. Mind. So, he doesn't. You're right. He doesn't give him.
Get on my level.
I don't know.
So then they go and Cheryl and Archie have a little moment, and she thanks him for corroborating the whole gunshot thing. And then she gets all kind of
struck me oddly because she's being very flirty and very sexy. And
but she's like, says,
if you do this, you can have anything you want. And then all of a sudden she goes, accept my body. And I was like, one, thanks for doing that because that actually made me feel better. But two, it was like, why the sexy opening then? Just open with, you can't have my body.
Yeah. It was kind of misleading.
But it does give us a Chekhov's gun for later in the season because we now loaded the bullet.
Is that a Star Trek thing?
What?
Is that a Star Trek thing?
No, it's from an author. Chekhov's gun is like, if you show me a gun in the first act, it needs to go off in the third act. So Cheryl owing Archie a favor, I think, is a pretty big deal that will come back later, which I think is the main point of this scene.
Okay. I thought it was talking about Chekhov from Star Trek, and I was like, he didn't have a gun. I don't remember.
So. Different Chekhov, but...
It's only one Chekhov in my life.
Star Trek did follow that rule. It's a lot older than Star Trek.
Okay, so he gets an in via Cheryl with Pussycats.
Yes.
And he is given the offering to come and observe them play. They're prepping to go do some of that music at the Taste of Riverdale banquet thing. And but Archie is faced with the fact that he's grounded. So they said they can come this week, but he's grounded this week. And he says he's going to deal with it, which basically means, hey, Archie's going to lie some more.
I don't want to jump ahead, but did you think it was odd that they throw this big, like, Taste of Riverdale festival that the entire cast is freaking out about because they want to deliver on this? Did you find it odd that they never actually showed any food?
They did show that Hermione working the Pops table had shots of what looked like strawberry shake. But other than that, there's no food in this entire thing.
Yeah, I don't go to Taste of anywhere if they're like, and here is a milkshake. Josie becomes Archie's new music teacher, essentially,
yeah.
which is pretty cool. But then we cut to learning that Ronnie read the comments on that Facebook post.
Which I was kind of upset.
The comments look like Instagram. I don't know. Let us know in the comments.
You said you didn't care.
I don't. But now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, that's not Facebook, though.
Okay, so yeah. Ronnie's looking through the comments. She's talking with her mom. And then she gets a call from Betty, who has a whole brigade of girls at the school who have been wronged by these boys. Namely, she's got
Barb.
Ethel, a.k.a. Barb from
yes.
Stray Things, who's allowed to only play one character throughout all universes.
But, yeah, I mean, they got Barb from Stranger Things, and that made
literally,
me very
she's wearing
happy.
She's wearing fringe, just like Stranger Things.
I feel like that actress that plays both these characters, actually, that's just her wardrobe.
I guess so.
I hope that's how she just dresses. So Cheryl comes in to this like meeting of all these girls
scorned.
That were wronged by the football team, and Cheryl somehow immediately makes it about her.
Yeah, she's
terrible.
Like, we gotta have practice. We gotta do the River Vixen practice.
But
who cares
but
that you might have been
for the first time? Is like Barb ain't having it.
Yeah.
Everybody else ain't having it, and Cheryl says, and I quote, boys will be boys.
Yeah.
And I had to pick all my computer stuff and my table off the ground again. but then Veronica's not having it, and Veronica goes full ham.
Yeah.
On Cheryl.
They bring up the fact that they keep score, and they start innuendoing this possible book that has written data of these boy conquests. But Cheryl says it's all false because if this happened, this would have involved Jason because Jason was captain of the football team last year. And Jason would have never done that because he would have told Cheryl because they had that relationship.
Yeah, and to Cheryl's credit, that fall from grace she actually does sort of accept. And I like Cheryl's arc in this episode a lot because she is so full force here and she's about to get information that basically crumbles her whole world.
So we go to Pops.
Yeah. Oh, where Jughead just like steals Nice Dude's cherry from like a kid.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
It was a little weird.
And he gets information from this scout that Dilton Doily, the scoutmaster, was
also a couch doily.
Yeah.
Both things.
He was using a gun, and that's what the gunshot was, that Dilton was showing them how to shoot. He's like survivalist.
We learn in this scene that Doyle is like the most right wing survivalist. Like, I need to teach kids how to shoot guns without telling their parents. And I'm like, well, that's another crime.
Yeah, you got to give them a break in Riverdale because I think they only have one police officer.
Crime
and that's
does
the
not
chief of
mean
police.
The same thing in Riverdale.
And the chief of police, he's too busy making sure he's got well-coiffed hair to watch
that's
all
true.
These.
Sheriff Old Chris Pine.
Yeah.
So we go to Archie's first practice with the Pussycats.
Yeah, he sneaks out with a bed dummy, as you do.
But the most important thing that I learned from this scene is when Josie explains why they're called Josie and the Pussycats. Like, why Pussycats specifically? Because she is... Because
of white privilege.
A little bit, and I actually applaud the show because... She gives it to Archie a little bit, and she's like, until you've fought and clawed your way up from the street, you don't know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they undo that in the, like, next scene, but...
Yeah, basically.
It was nice while it lasted, but...
A moment.
I liked that they explained Josie and the Pussycats in, like, two lines and actually made it mean something more than it used to mean, which is pretty awesome.
So... Archie agrees that that the Pussycats and they're like kind of telling him that, well, they're less than white privilege, and Archie agrees with it. And so we move to the next scene where Betty gets confirmation from.
Cheryl is horrible in all caps. I don't even.
All right, I'm gonna kind of pull that apart and go through this whole scene then.
Yeah, no, I have a lot more notes on it. That was just the first note. She like shows up at their crime.
Yeah.
They're totally doing a B&E, and she's just like, hello, boys.
She's got a great line. She's like, a B&E with a B&V. Because Betty and Veronica realize that there is a playbook from a former player, and they go break into the school at night dressed like,
Cheryl is wearing the most choice thigh-high boots in existence.
Yeah,
which Kevin notices and points out.
Yeah, because that's what the gay people do.
Well, that was a little on the nose, but I like that scene. I don't know.
Everyone, and even like Veronica is dressed like she's going to go to some sort of gala.
Right.
And Ethel finds the book, and they realize that it's all true, and then Cheryl's world gets rocked because Polly's name is on the book.
Polly, yeah.
Yep. And they've all got their scores and stuff, which Ethel's all pissed off at her score. She says she was a 7.5, but Veronica was a 9 with a plus one bonus of being the new girl, which means that Veronica without the plus one bonus is only half a point more than Ethel. So I think she needs to get off her high horse and be happy with her 7.5.
I would have given Barb a 10. Actually, no, I wouldn't, because scoring is really effed up.
That's the correct answer, Mikey.
Yeah, well...
I was having a joke, and then...
We just would have drank root beer and hung out on the couch. I don't have a score playbook.
I want to know what my score is at the end of all this from you.
You get 8s every time.
I get 8s every
you're
time.
Good.
I have a note here
for improvement.
Oh, I'm going to work it. I have a note here that I couldn't get over the fact that if this show is set in the modern day and they keep making Rivers as the modern day, why is all of this notebook analog style? Don't these kids know what Google Docs is? Like, you could just have some sort of shared.
That's true. The scorebook would be on Google Docs.
That's what should be happening.
They do. Because they answer rotary phone. Well, not rotary, but they answer like house phones instead of cell phones. Like, they are using some old technology, I think, for that purpose. And
Betty,
obviously, that's just better for finding.
Yeah, it's visually better. So the scene just basically ends with Betty wanting justice and saying she's got a plan. So that's how that scene goes.
But Betty gives a great speech on female objectification by young boys and how to protect all of them. And Cheryl mm-hmm. admits at the end of this that she didn't actually know Jason that well, mm-hmm. which I feel like is a really big reveal.
Yeah, it's kind of like these. We get these little nuggets of Cheryl actually growing as a person and actually revealing real parts of herself, which is more than can be said about some other characters in this show.
And this is the, this is when Betty agrees with Veronica to go full dark.
Yeah. And then we go to a pussycat practice where Archie fixes their song for them.
One line. He changes one word in a two-word line, and he's then telling Jughead later that he needed to sneak out of the house to witness the performance because he helped write that song.
Yeah.
Archie not getting a lot of bonus points right now.
Nah. But we do get to hear the Pussycats sing a cappella, which is a nice little
which
special thing
great,
that happens.
Which is without question great.
Anytime the Pussycats get to sing, it's a good time in the show.
So we cut to Betty going into full Joker mode.
She's like femme fataling the shit up.
Yeah, hard. And it doesn't matter because her mom walks in and we're still at negative one immediately on the
her
DM
mom.
Count.
Her mom not only comes in and is trying to explain to Betty that she should not be wearing such seductive makeup and that she shouldn't be like that and that she shouldn't be hanging out with Veronica, but she literally grabs a face wipe, stands behind Betty, and not just like gently wipes off the lipstick. She smears the lipstick across her daughter's face to make her look like...
Yeah, and just leaves it hanging there. So I made the Joker joke before that it happened. And once that had happened, I was like, well, obviously, yeah.
Yeah. So her mom is like, Betty is prepping to go do stuff to Chuck.
But Betty does stand up and she's just like, nah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Because we cut to her in full red makeup again. Because she's now a spy at Pop. she's fully undercover hitting
Chuck. Jughead's an investigative journalist and Betty's a spy. Okay, this is what's happening. Get on the train.
So Chuck reveals some stuff about Polly and Jason.
So Betty starts seducing Chuck at Pops. And Betty is like, yeah, I want to be a bad girl. And Chuck goes, like Polly, and starts like really talking about how Polly was some sort of
When I want to really get a girl to connect with me, I immediately bring up her incarcerated sister.
Just gets their motor
that's
going.
That's the way to get it done, Chuck.
Chuck
is in because Betty wants to meet him at Ethel's.
Yes.
Which he does not question, despite the fact that he has already done horrible things to that girl.
Yes. And then we find out that Ethel's parents are loaded and rich as hell because they have an entire bathhouse devoted to their pool and tub.
It was a good bathhouse.
It was like sliding doors and everything. It's like, all right, everyone in this goddamn town is rich as hell.
I think that is sort of goes without saying, though.
But not rich enough for Ethel to actually wear clothes that are modern.
Well, as we've covered, retro is the new.
And it's got to be Barbara. It's Barbara throughout the whole thing.
So Archie's dad catches Archie sneaking out because Archie is terrible at sneaking out, which we've covered in previous episodes. His dad has been like, you're real bad at sneaking out, dude.
Yeah.
So he catches him.
Dad has to be dad.
But he grounded him for 3 weeks, and Archie has just been caught sneaking out of the grounding.
Yeah. Then kind of like Archie does kind of call his dad out because his dad was kind of, he challenges that, would his dad be getting this upset about this stuff that he's doing, which is namely sneaking out to go play the music and fix
false equivalency. I thought it was weak as hell. Archie's logic is total garbage.
Yeah, but in like the episode prior, like his dad like had made this whole speech about like, I don't care if you do football, I don't care if you do music, just as long as you know you do your best and that kind of stuff. So I don't know why Archie
Archie's dad's arc in this episode is accepting the musical side of Archie as if the audience care about it in any way. But I thought his dad came off like a good dad in this scene. I thought he was a good daddy.
I want a shirt that just says Luke Perry is good daddy.
So then we cut to the please don't say good daddy again at any point in the scene, but we cut to Chuck arriving at said bathhouse.
Yeah.
I thought the music choice was A plus.
It was here. Good. Cause, okay. So yeah, Veronica, lets him in and lets him know that she's there and that apparently he's going to have a menage a trois. And he's totally not suspicious at this point at all.
Chuck is an idiot. Like that feels pretty canon at this point. And then, he doesn't know when people are tricking him at all.
Or drugging him.
Part was awesome.
So yeah, so Veronica starts, you know, inviting him over by seductively taking clothes and high heels off and getting in a hot tub. And then Chuck's like, should we wait for Betty? Betty doesn't show up. Instead, Betty's alter ego shows up.
But I don't, do we cut right after that? Because one thing this episode does is it cuts between so many scenes so often.
This scene does end with Betty coming out in lingerie and a black, and wig, you know, Black Widow wig.
But then we go to Taste of Riverdale.
Yeah. And Archie's dad meets Grundy.
Yeah, which as I was like, in all caps, love triangle is now Archie and his dad. Gross.
Yuck. Not going to talk about that for now.
Yeah, but Miss Blossom is there, or Mrs. Blossom.
Oh,
which is like a wine tasting. Like, why are you there?
I don't know, but it's good they're there because then Alice Cooper comes up and is acting all crazy, and she gets knocked out.
The BM count is now at -2 because Betty's mom just walks up and is just like horrible things.
She says, like, do you have a comment for her? Would you like to comment on for her, like, newspaper that had just leaked their son's autopsy results?
Right. And she gets hit, but I'm just saying BM count is now at -2 and that ain't where it's going to stop this episode. So she's not earning a lot of points here.
Right. And then we go to Pussycats, start singing their song to try to cover up the fact that someone just got punched.
Archie snuck out for anyway, despite the fact that he'd already been caught sneaking out once on a 3-month grounding.
He decides, I'm going to sneak out to someplace where my dad is at.
Right. Yeah. His dad is there hitting on his teacher or girlfriend. So we're just going to walk over that. Archie is really serious about getting credit for the music he wrote for this. And I was like, yes. Again, you wrote one word in a two.
I think they were insinuating that he had written this song and they were playing one of his songs. But then I remember at the beginning of that scene with the Pussycats, they were talking about how one of the Pussycats was normally a poet, but this song didn't make sense. So yeah, so the Pussycats wrote it and he fixed it.
Saved them all by tweaking one line.
And then Grundy and Archie's dad have a conversation.
It gets a little awkward.
It's a conversation that they have this whole thing where Archie's dad is questioning her about Archie's musical talent. He uses the word talent. He just says, does my son have talent? And then the whole conversation, I couldn't help but feel like talent could be another word for penis. And they're talking the whole conversation about
Archie's dad, not touching that at all. Archie's dad does insinuate to her that he knows. Because his demeanor shifts on a dime right at the end of this situation. And I'm like, if it wasn't awkward before, it is real awkward now.
Just want to point out, if you listen to that conversation, you think about them talking about Archie's penis the whole time, his dad does say, will he be able to make a living out of it? And Grundy says, be a shame if he didn't try, which they're talking about Archie being
prostitute. She tries to get a little cute and insinuate, I'm having sex with your high school child, which is not a good move. But he's just like, he swings back pretty hard, like he knows. But then we move on to Betty's mom.
Alice didn't get enough with one punch, so she decides to try to provoke another mommy because that sounds like a smart move at this party. Mm-mm. And she tries to provoke Hermione by talking about how Hermione's daughter Veronica is a slut and is getting shamed.
And I wrote BM count -2 and then immediately below that the bullet point update -3 because I never expected to get through an episode taking away 2 points, but Betty's mom is like on some whole other level of horrendous.
She's going for that golf score.
Which then we move to back to the pool house where Betty is putting ecstasy in Chuck's glass.
She's roofing Chuck is what she's doing.
Well, she was saying, I determined it was ecstasy because she was saying it's the same as truth serum, which is ecstasy. That's,
she said it was a muscle relaxer.
Once she said truth serum, I just determined it was ecstasy.
Okay, so
that's the only thing it can be in that situation.
They're about to give drugs to Chuck, which almost would make you feel sad for Chuck. But then he uses a line where Veronica's asking if he wants to slow down. He says, "I'm too fast, too furious, baby." And I'm going to try that one out myself sometime with a special friend and see if that works.
I don't think that's going to work ever.
I will give you an update once I'm able to try that line out on a potential sex partner. Okay, Mikey, give me my moment.
Spoiler, it did not work.
You don't know.
So Jughead confronts the scout leader again.
Yeah.
Because he's a real journalist. Damn it. I have integrity. Jughead gets, I don't want to say he's like pretty hot, but Jughead is like a little hot in this scene. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's a good look on him.
It is.
But he doesn't get anything out of that scene because we cut immediately, because this show is just going to cut between scenes like an MF, man. So Chuck is handcuffed and Betty is slowly raising the temperature of the water.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming.
And I'm pretty sure it's like 130 degrees in there. So
get shots dangerous of the temperature. I didn't even like think to stop and look and see how hot it was, but they like,
I don't think they have numbers, but I'm just saying when it's in the red, you're getting, because 105 is like not even that nuts for a spa, I don't think.
So they're boiling this boy.
They are boiling the boy.
As you do. And they get him to confess on video that nothing happened. And he says, you know, that they had a nice date, nothing's wrong. And so you think that's going to resolve it. But Betty decides to go full dark.
She gives him a sticky maple. And I think that she, at this point, is still in the realm of totally okay. Because you have photoshopped whatever that horrible thing is onto someone else. And you have made them feel the brunt of whatever that, because apparently that's a big deal in Riverdale.
Yeah.
So I actually don't have a problem with her. It's just some maple syrup. I mean, he's fine. Like,
but then Betty starts like,
yeah, she loses it a little bit.
Losing a little bit is pouring maple syrup on someone. Losing it a lot is calling Chuck Jason and referring to herself as Polly and trying to get that Jason to apologize for what he did to her, Polly.
She's a little unhinged and maybe projecting a little bit, but no, yeah, it was not a good look for Betty. But I her actions up to this point, I agree with.
And Barbara really liked this whole thing because apparently she's watching the whole time and likes what Betty's
and
doing.
And whatever Barb likes, I like. So that I'm sign off. It's fine.
It's a good life motto. Okay, so we cut to the next day.
Archie's dad soundproofing the garage. Yeah,
he's just a good dad. He's just a good daddy. He's a good daddy, Mikey.
I feel like they cut to that just to be like, hey, Luke Perry, he's pretty good at this.
He's a good daddy. And then he talks about
how
hot Grundy
is. His music now.
Yeah. He does reference to Archie that Grundy is hot.
Oh, yeah. My note for that is also, he's hot for Grundy. Ooh, God, why? Ooh, Jesus, no, please, God. that is the actual note.
It's not awkward at all. It's totally normal.
Yeah, because they kind of pull back a little bit and insinuate that he doesn't know.
Yeah, I don't think he knows at this point. I think that they're just playing with that, but I don't think he knows or anything like that.
He pushed a little hard earlier for me to not believe he knows something.
But yeah, so he's soundproofing the walls and making Archie all happy. And then we cut to Book of Shame headline of expose and realize that Betty wrote the article.
Because the school paper does exposés on their students.
It's hard-hitting journalism, Mike. You get used to it.
Apparently, it's the most important thing in the world. I'm not saying that someone shouldn't report on that and hold these people accountable. I'm just saying it's a little odd that it's the school paper doing that and not the police or the regular paper.
Yeah.
But Betty gets a ton of points for this from me because that was a cool move.
She kind of like denying that she called him Jason or denies that she went like crazy.
Because Veronica's a little alarmed at her actions.
As you should be.
I was like, yeah, a little alarmed is fine. But I don't think people are really bad at empathy on the show, which is seeing things from someone else's perspective. They're all bad at it. So
I think Veronica is the best at it, but Betty does kind of win her over by pointing out that Betty is tired of these boys doing this stuff to these girls.
And there's like this great moment of "we did it," and then Cheryl hashtags it, and you're just like, Cheryl, just immediately.
I know you just kind of want to be like, Cheryl, read the room, okay? But Cheryl, just once,
just one time, Cheryl. Apologizes to Betty, making Cheryl 1,000 times better than Betty's own mom.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool. Cheryl does start to move into, I am a fully dimensional person.
Transition into another Jug Dub.
Yeah, I didn't really write many notes about this because it was kind of a montage of unimportant things, but Archie goes to Grundy. And
yes. First, Chuck Clayton and Goon Squad get cut from the team.
Yeah.
And they reference that there will be terrible consequences from this to come, which I'm very curious about because I don't remember what the consequences of that could be.
I think Chuck is not gone. I think Chuck's going to come back and this is going to take a real dark turn. What are you talking about, Barbara?
Well, I was saying that's the point where Barbara gets justice and Betty and Cheryl burn the playbook. That's during the Jug Dub. And then we go to Archie, talks to Grundy again and wants to start his quote-unquote lessons up.
But then they cut away immediately, right before they kiss, because you know they're going to, and you're just like, no. They go back to the scout leader, because the scout leader, under intense pressure from the school newspaper, trade them info.
You're supposed to say that with command and power. The school newspaper.
Oh, yeah. No, I get it now. But he wants to trade them information to not reveal, because he was the one that fired the gun. So all of our theories about what's going on are kind of all thrown for a loop here. But he wants to trade them. Don't reveal that I was the one that fired the gun, which, again, you didn't do anything wrong, so I don't know why everyone wants to lie about a murder investigation, but he wants to trade that for he saw Grundy's car at the lake.
Mm-hmm. And at that point, Jughead knows what that means. Betty does not.
Which is the point Jughead could step in and say, nah. why would you let him? He's offering a trade. Refuse the trade.
Yeah, I guess that was an option. I don't know why he didn't take it. And then we go to Archie and Grundy doing
they're going at it like a couple of jackrabbits.
And they're at school.
Yeah, they do seem to like believe that they never have to go to class, which they don't.
Nope.
Either she never teaches one, he never is in one.
Optional.
But they are totally comfortable making out in front of a window that Archie has looked through and seen her multiple times. And Jughead has also seen them.
Yeah, I was going to say Jughead saw it too.
Yeah, that's clearly this is not a protected environment for this activity.
At least put like a little piece of black paper over that little window part if you're going to do that.
It's an odd side plot a little bit. I don't know where this is going. I don't think we're supposed to like it because it feels pretty damn unlikable. But yeah. It's curiosity. I'm like, where are you going with this?
Star, River, Dalian.
Betty, no question. Betty all the way. Betty for life. I can't even imagine anyone else but Betty being the star of the game.
Oh, sir, let me just say one name.
All right.
Ethel.
Oh, that's fair. I'll allow that one.
Barb gets Star Riverdalian.
Okay. For this week, I was thinking more main cast, but she was definitely in this episode enough with enough character stuff.
No, she's the whole reason that the whole like playbook got corroborated and got and that they can yeah. that they didn't just let it fall under, you know, the wayside. She let her rich, you know, house be used to boil a boy. And, you know, it's like she was necessary. And
that's
she
my
was
favorite take home restaurant. Boil a boy.
Boil a boy.
You just take it home and boil it, and you got a just boy a- ready to eat. Let's go get it.